My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name's Christian Osero, joined by the always prepared and always sauced up on Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Jay Binkley.
A lot of Mountain Dew.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, Chris. And it's fun that we got college football, a taste, which is backtrack a little bit.
Yeah, just
bit.
A little bit of taste.
Friday night, you and I love high school football. Matter of fact, we used to do a high school football show
on 610,
here at 610 Sports Radio, and we had a lot of fun. Great matchups around the city. I watched that Lee Summit North, Liberty North game. What a game.
Did you see
one
that?
And two in the state. I watched on TV.
Okay,
I watched on TV. Say. Yeah, I didn't go out there for it because that had a little bit of a rain delay, believe it or not, even though there hasn't been really rain in the city. But we had that Friday night. So I'm back in my routine, right? So it's Friday night, high school football, Saturday, college football, albeit I had to break away for a second and watch Kansas City Chiefs preseason football. But then, well, I actually had two TVs going, but then it was back to college football the rest of the day. And, man, it's fun to have week zero back or college football back in general, talking Heisman, talking all the matchups, watching guys like we watched with the Fisher and Alt, the linemen for Notre Dame, that we said, hey, watch this. They delivered. And Sam Hartman looked good
right.
at quarterback for Notre Dame. I had fun personally watching our old friend Jerry Kill. Jerry Kill, on the day shift, when Henry and I were on there, used to join us every week when he was at Kansas State. He was our weekly guest. And he had all those health issues, remember, and the seizure and stuff. But he got that tattoo on his arm for New Mexico State because he told him, hey, win a bowl game and I'll get one. And he's coaching New Mexico State. They actually went 7-6 last year. Actually got themselves in a conference. It was fun to watch him and his successes, but that's what you get with college football, a little taste of stuff like that. But he's always such a great guy when he came on our show.
So we're going to give you a preview of the week one matchups, what to watch for. We're obviously going to give you our Heisman watch here.
Let's do it.
As now Heisman Trophy season is upon us, and it's time for someone in the long list of players who are eligible to set themselves away from the pack here very early.
Still an award I like.
Yes. Yeah. No, you like the Blitnikoff, too. You talked about it the
I
whole
do,
time
but the Heisman is just special, man. Yeah, you know, guys climb and they go down, they have bad games, but I've always, I don't know what it is about this, I'm not a huge award guy, but I do follow the Heisman. Clearly, I used to do my Heisman list every week just for fun, and I like to watch the Heisman Trophy ceremony, and it's just one of those things I still enjoy.
And then we also are going to preview the defensive back class for 2024. A recap of the Chiefs game from Saturday against the Browns. We're going to give you our watch list for week one. Teams, games you should watch for, prospects in those games you should watch for as well. Plus, we'll give you our thoughts about the 2023 draft. As now we have the conclusion of the preseason here upon us. Guys are going to get cut, and we're going to tell you what some of these guys are doing that we have been keeping a track of. But I want to give you a quick recap of week zero for college football. Not a ton of great games. We obviously pointed to really a couple of games that you should be watching for. The first one, Notre Dame Irish going against Navy, Dublin, Ireland. Packed house, very big crowd, very interesting looking stadium. It's a soccer stadium there. And the Irish absolutely destroyed Navy. It was not very competitive at all. It was, I mean, it looked very rough. I mean, I remember watching it and I was just like, man, like this. And it was funny because like there was like bettors who were trying to say take Navy plus the points. They were dominating Navy on both sides of the ball at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, when that happens in football, generally bad things happen for the team that's getting dominated. That's exactly what happened.
It's that offensive line of Notre Dame. It's so good. You have a surefire top 5 to 6 pick in Joe Alt to tackle. And you have Blake Fisher over there on the other side as well. So both bookend tackles for Notre Dame looking extremely good in this game. And, you know, and Sam Hartman, the quarterback. I mean, that's one of the things. That's the way college football's become now. And to me, Chris, this is why I go out there and get the preview magazines, whatever. Just figure out which quarterbacks where. I mean, because college football right now, and the Heisman list we're going to get to in a minute, is dominated by players that played at another university, and now they're at somewhere else. Like Sam Hartman that basically set every ACC record quarterback at Wake Forest, now leading Notre Dame. By the way, people used to tease Perry Ellis because he played forever in college basketball. Sam Hartman's played for, what, 2 decades in college football?
Yeah, he's played forever.
He had like 5 years at Wake Forest. Dude's played forever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of these guys have been around for a long time. I mean, that's kind of, obviously we still have some of the remnants of the COVID era, so that's going to be something that happens there. But yeah, I mean, and he looked good in the game, and they really didn't have any trouble dispatching Navy. Navy just, like, when you play that kind of offense, wishbone offense, you have to pitch a perfect game against a team like Notre Dame. And they did not. Made a lot of mistakes. And they just, there were a lot of times where, like, it was very easy for them to go out there and figure out exactly how to shut down a lot of those triple option plays that they were running. And it was not a good show.
Not going to lie, I was going for that. I love the triple option. I do. I just love the intricacies of it. I like, you know, that's why I like playing EA Sports and college football, because I love the option. And I know we're in the spread and throwing the ball out.
Figure it out, though.
But I like it. When Georgia Tech used to run it. I love the triple option. I like the wishbone. Old school, like 1970s, yeah. Barry Switzer wishbone.
Yeah, they were running a lot of that. A lot of triple option plays. And it just was like, it was so obvious what they were going to do there. And Notre Dame knew every time how to counter it. It was like, you know, obviously not everybody is like heavy study into film and whatnot. It looked like they knew exactly what Navy was going to do every single time they snapped the ball. It was not very competitive. Watching him try to throw the football was not good at all.
I do believe it was 4 touchdown passes Hartman had.
Yes.
It was 4. That tied a Notre Dame record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
that took him a long time to get that, didn't it?
Yeah. What game? It was funny because, like, when I turned that game on, I was just, you know, watching. I was watching Alt. I was watching Fisher, and they were just dominating.
Fisher and
just
Alt dominated.
Pushing those guys around. It was like, this isn't a good game to evaluate these guys in, because Navy is nowhere near their league. They're not being challenged. These guys are just significantly better athletes.
Navy did beat them in 2016, something like that. Navy,
yeah, I think they did. They did lose a game to Navy years ago.
The Navy's fun to watch, though. They're
interesting. It's a throwback.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah, but they were not at anywhere near the athletic level needed to compete against a team like Notre Dame. The other big matchup there, USC versus San Jose State. USC won that game 56-28. Caleb Williams, the guy that we said to watch, 18 to 25, 278 yards, 4 touchdowns. He definitely looked the part. Wasn't really challenged a whole lot by the San Jose State defense. The one thing you do jump out, and this is one of the things I think could be concerning for USC. They gave up 28 points to a non-Power 5 school, and that's not a good look for a team that is looking to when whatever the remnants of the Pac-12, the last year we're going to have the Pac-12 in this current form.
It was a good team last year, though. It was a bowl team last year.
Yeah, but like,
but not in USC's class.
Again, this is a group of five team. You are a team that a lot of people think could be. You're number six in the nation. You could be a team in the college football playoff. You can't give up that many points to a team like San Jose State.
No, no, you can't. And that is a concern. But man, that offense just. It's almost like they kept waiting to put their foot on the gas. And they did. I mean, the offense was rolling down the field. Caleb Williams, I thought, looked good in this game. We had a great game, as a matter of fact. That's why he's still – he had a Heisman-like backup the Heisman Trophy performance for Caleb Williams. But, again, that's what worries me about USC this year. It's going to look so dominant. And again, this is a team, Chris, that I see going 6-0, 7-0, they're cruising along, and then all of a sudden they hit that stumbling block. Maybe it's Washington on November 4th. They play the Huskies. They're at Oregon on the 11th of November. But it's one of those games like you look back and say, well, you know, could they hit that stumbling block at some point? But Caleb Williams, 278 yards passing, four touchdowns. Was sacked a couple times, which was a little bit surprising for him. But as far as the big time receivers that you expected to see, Mario Williams, just a couple of catches in this one. That's kind of that breakaway threat there for USC. You really didn't see a lot from him.
One guy that jumped out, Zachariah Branch, freshman out of Vegas, four catches for 58 yards and a touchdown. That's someone you might want to watch.
Then watch him and Dorian Singer. I mean, they're two. We're talking all Pac-12 preseason guys, but Singer and and Williams didn't have the game. I mean, six combined catches for both those guys. And these guys are going to be, you know, 80 and 90 catches this year.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, one of the guys, Zachariah Branch really impressed me from what I saw from him. But, yeah, I mean, they score a lot of points against a team they should score a lot of points against. But you allowed 28 points to a group of five school. So that's not the greatest look early in the season. For USC's sake, you got to shore that up. You can't go out there and if they can score 28 on you, what happens when you start playing the Oregons and the Washingtons and you're having to, and UCLA and teams like that who are going to be in the mix late into things? You sure as hell can't have teams like San Jose State setting that standard with 28 points at the beginning of the season.
They're scary games to play week zero. And the one thing about college football early on like this, you're not playing preseason. Like, that is go time. So if you see sloppy football and whatever in first games of college seasons, it's no preseason. You see how sloppy NFL football is in the preseason. It's terrible.
Even early season.
It's a college football like we're going to see this weekend, Labor Day weekend. Big matchups, you know. You're sitting here in Florida and Utah. And then
last year it was sloppy as hell.
You're seeing Florida State and LSU. We're seeing these, you know, it's go time. It's show up and play time.
Yeah, this is it's one of the tough parts of, and this is the reason why those teams generally, they get those punching bag teams that they can just blow out by 40, 50 points so that they can ensure that these guys get used to getting hit again and get used to executing the offense and defense. So they have that under their belt. They can shake off some of that rust. And, you know, this is a better school than what you would normally face in that first week, but still, you know, you're sixth in the nation. You're a team that is looking to compete. Giving up 28 to a team like San Jose State, not the best look.
And it should be noted as well. All right. These games, when you think about the Pac-12, seriously, and you wonder why that whole conference dissolved right in front of us. When you have a team like USC playing on Pac-12 Network, when we saw high school football and you name it on ESPN, Chris.
Yep.
There's so many people I know that want to watch Caleb Williams play, and they don't have Pac-12 Network, and there's no reason to get it. There's seven channels on Pac-12 Network, by the way. They have six for the regional teams, and they have one national one for Pac-12 Network.
Yeah.
I still have that package, but yeah, I mean,
I couldn't watch the game. I had to watch the highlights.
Which sucks, because you're the Heisman Trophy winner, and you're talking, they're playing a bowl team
right.
from the year before. You know, we're not sitting here talking about New Mexico State versus UMass.
Right.
You know, that you could see on TV.
Yeah, it's not the smartest move for them. It's one of the biggest reasons why they're in the position that they're in right now. So I want to go over to week one preview matchups, the biggest matchups to watch out for. Starting with Thursday, Florida, Utah. My Florida Gators taking on Utah Utes, a team that won the Pac-12 last year. A team that Florida won against last year at the Swamp. This is not a Florida team that a lot of people have expectations for. They got Graham Mertz out there from Kansas City.
Yeah, Blue Valley North, went to Wisconsin.
Yeah, he went to Wisconsin, transferred there after last season, won the starting job at Florida. So Billy Napier's second year at Florida, starting off with Utah again in Utah. So that'll be a tough match.
And Cam Rising, their quarterback, he's a stud quarterback. I mean, the Pac-12's got some fun quarterbacks.
Yeah, I forgot to bring up Utah in the Pac-12 as far as USC competing.
You got Penix out there at Washington that's kind of a Heisman guy. You got Bo Nix in Oregon. You got Caleb Williams at USC. And Cam Rising, but we don't know 100% if Cam Rising's 100% or if he's going to play. That's been the big mystery is his health, the quarterback. So it would be a nice little battle between Mertz in Cam Rising, but I'm not 100% sure we're going to see all of Rising.
The other big notable Thursday matchup, South Dakota taking on Mizzou in Mizzou's opener for the season. This is going to be a very crucial year for Eli Drinkwitz. If they're not in the mix in the East, obviously, I don't think anybody expects them to win the East. You know, you got Georgia, you got Florida, you got Tennessee, nobody's expecting them to win the East. But if they're not competitive this year, Drink's probably done at Mizzou.
And it's a high-profile job. I'll never forget, I think it was Barry Switzer at one point said, if he could coach somewhere else, where to be? And I think he mentioned Missouri because you're thinking of a state that populated. One division, one team. I mean, you look around, Kansas got two of them. Kansas State doesn't have any competition in the state. Iowa State. You're Mizzou. Right there in the middle. You had a ton of talent out of St. Louis. Always had that.
Always.
But now you got a bunch of blue chips out of Kansas City, including the number three prospect in the nation, Williams Nwari from Lee Summit North, that's going to Missouri next year. But you're right. Drinkwitz needs to win this year. He also needs to show the fan base he can recruit, which he has done that. With Luther Burden, when he came there, and Sam Horn, the quarterback. Yeah. And now Williams coming in there. He's got the good recruiting, but you got to start winning games.
Yeah, and that's the one thing he hasn't done. He showed it last year in 22 with this class then. Good class there. This past recruiting class, not nearly as good.
Which is funny that they gave Georgia their toughest game.
Right.
They probably should have beat Georgia, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, but they didn't.
But they should have.
And then this year, I mean, Nwaneri really kind of saved their recruiting class because it was not looking good at all before that. They were right around 60. So got to do better recruiting for sure, but definitely have to do better with winning as well. Going on to Friday's matchup, Mo State, KU. And, that obviously Leipold. We'll see if he can continue his magic that he kind of worked on KU last year. Miami of Ohio taking on Miami, Florida, down in South Beach. You've got those two schools going off. We've talked about this before. Miami's going to be a team to watch because they've got some really good offensive line prospects there, two really good tackles there. So that's going to be a game to watch for sure. Saturday, big slate, tons of great games, tons of interesting players to watch for. Well, not great games, but tons of interesting teams to watch for. You got SEMO, K-State, which if you're into the offensive line play, Cooper Beebe is going to be a guy.
Top 15 draft pick.
Yeah. Probably going to be the first or second guard.
Will Howard get himself in the Heisman conversation.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting as well. I mean, Kleiman last year did real good work with that squad. They lost a lot of players in the draft. Now we're going to have to see if they can go out there and kind of retool and compete for the Big 12 again.
I've got my slate already written out. I'm going to watch UMass. It was so bad last year. They went against New Mexico State, Auburn at 2:30.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to be watching that Ohio State, Indiana at 2:30 as well. 11 a.m., I want to see Dion in Colorado.
Colorado TCU?
Take on TCU, the 17th-ranked Horned Frogs.
Which I think they might be a little bit overrated there at 17. I think if there's any team on upset watch this weekend, TCU's on upset watch, I think.
And I think one of the highlight games that we're going to see, Chris, on Saturday, and I don't know if we'll agree on this one or not, but it's a rivalry game. They don't always play every year. They used to. Not now is
North Carolina, South Carolina.
So you see Drake May, possibly top two or three players selected in this year's draft as a quarterback, and going against South Carolina. So it's Spencer Rattler, and you probably remember him. He had a good year last year for South Carolina.
Yep.
transferred from Oklahoma, where at one point he was looked to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. He's at South Carolina, so that game 6:30 on Saturday night. I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, yeah, that's weird. Usually those rivalry games like that are saved for later in the season. So for them to do it week one is certainly not something I think any of us were expecting there. I was very surprised when I saw that up there. They also have another tight end prospect to watch out for, Bryson Nesbitt as well. So especially here in Kansas City, as we kind of look around for tight ends, that's a big option there. One team I think is going to be really interesting, full of prospects, Texas. Quinn Ewers, you got Jatavion Sanders, a tight end there. They've got some pretty good, pretty stud interior linemen there. Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy II are two guys you want to watch out for as well. There's a lot of really good players on that Texas team.
Xavier Worthy?
Yeah, Xavier Worthy's another one.
Watch it for Chiefs fans, yes, wide receiver.
Yeah, that's a team that could very well be in the mix later in the season. We'll see how things shake out there. It seems like we're saying that almost every other year. Yeah. Obviously, you want to continue to watch Notre Dame as well. They face Tennessee State this week. Georgia, Brock Bowers. I don't think he's going to be available for the Chiefs, but you never know. Brock Bowers is going to be a very interesting player. Could be top five.
Best tight end I've seen in a long time. He just has that it factor.
Yeah.
All he's done is won two national titles in 2 years at Georgia.
Correct.
He's getting the comparisons to like Kelsey's name throwing out and Gronk.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the best pass receiving option they had. It's so good that Darnell Washington, the great tight end we liked that went to Pittsburgh,
wasn't even starting
because of Brock Bowers. Now I've seen mock drafts with Brock Bowers going from 6th to 14th or even 16th. So if there's something you say, well, could the Chiefs get down there with the
good
one? They're not going to get down there with their one because they're going to be picking 31 or 32. But if they package something else in,
yeah.
They're not getting Marvin Harrison. Like, I look at players that could help the Kansas City Chiefs in the draft. Nobody really stood out to me last year, and I said, that's a Chiefs player right there. Yeah. Like, I guarantee it. Brock Bowers is.
Yeah.
Like, that is something. We talk about Kelsey. What's going to be the eventual Kelsey replacement? If you want to go Tony Gonzalez to Kelsey to Brock Bowers, he's the one guy I say, okay, this is a Chief. This is somebody that they need. And let's put it this way. If he slips down to 10 to 14, I don't think so. I think he's a top five pick in the draft, and I think if you don't take him top five in the draft, teams are making a huge monumental mistake on not doing it. But, yes, the Chiefs.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
feasibly, theoretically, probably could get down unless he gets taken like 5 or 6, then they're screwed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I said, he could be top five.
If he goes top five, there.
But I would not be shocked if he fell to somewhere in the mid teens. Alabama's going to be another team to watch, full of defensive prospects. Dallas Turner could be the top pass rusher in this draft class. We'll see.
I think him and versus Florida State, the top
two. Yeah, and then Chris Braswell, another edge rusher that they have, someone else to watch for. Plus, they've got the top DB, the top cornerback in this draft class, at least right now, in Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Kool-Aid!
So you definitely want to watch out for that team as well. Not quite as much hype around Alabama this year is what we've seen, but certainly
lowest
a team
ranking preseason for what, fourth?
And, yeah.
The one thing about Bama is, Chris, is they this little snack they got this week against Middle Tennessee State. But the bottom line is, the following week they play Texas. So when you talk about big-time prospects to watch, Texas
Gave them some issues
in Alabama.
Last time.
What's that?
Texas gave them some issues last time they played.
They did. And they probably should have beat them, to be honest with you. But Texas is in week two there against Alabama. And I think, I mean, that's the marquee game to watch. It's going to be a 6 o'clock night game. But Texas at Alabama, Quinn Ewers, I mean, there's stars all over the place. You mentioned all the Texas players, Alabama players. But we got to wait a week for that one. That was the big one.
Yeah.
Not this week, but next week.
The biggest one of the week, though, of the weekend, though, Labor Day, LSU, Florida State, big-time matchup there. You're talking about two teams who have quarterbacks that are being discussed in the Heisman race. LSU is a team, I think a lot of people, you're pretty high on them. A lot of people are pretty high on LSU this year. And then on top of that, Florida State, not quite been able to capture that magic of the last few years, but late last year you did see some improvement in that team. They certainly are kind of showing something. That's a big match. That's easily your biggest matchup of the week right there. LSU, Florida State, Monday night.
LSU 5, Florida State 8. LSU 2.5-point favorites on the road in this game. I guess you consider it on the road. Is this game, they're doing this in Orlando, right?
I believe, I believe it's a neutral site game.
Is it Orlando, but still they're going down to Florida. But I couldn't remember if it's Orlando or not that they're playing this game. And I could be wrong. I'm not 100% sure where that is. But regardless, that's the game. And I like this, the first weekend of college football, the Labor Day weekend, how they space these things out.
Yeah.
I mean, this deserves to be a standalone game.
Yeah, it absolutely deserves to be a standalone game there. And it like I said, it's going to be a very big matchup there. Moving on to the Heisman watch. These odds are according to FanDuel, by the way. Right now, Caleb Williams leading the Heisman watch, plus 900. Right after him, number two.
Which, by the way, no one's ever won it back-to-back except for
Archie Griffin.
That's it.
The person with the next best odds is Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU, plus 1,000. You've got two quarterbacks after him who are plus 1,200. Quarterback Jordan Travis from Florida State and quarterback Quinn Ewers out of Texas. So, you know, very quarterback heavy. We talked about this before about Marvin Harrison Jr. having the ability to win the Heisman this year. A lot of quarterbacks ahead of him, though, on this list. Right after Ewers is Cade Klubnik from Clemson, plus 1,400. Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington, plus 1,600. Sam Hartman, Notre Dame, also 1,600, plus 1,600. J.J. McCarthy, Michigan's quarterback, plus 1,800. Bo Nix, Oregon, plus 1,800. Drake May, North Carolina, plus 1,800. And now we get to, there was actually a lot more other guys, but like I had to be realistic there who actually was going to actually compete for this. Marvin Harrison Jr., Ohio State wide receiver, plus 3,000 to win the Heisman Trophy. I'm going to tell you this right now. If you want to get some good value here, I think this is good value here. You know, it plus 3,000 means that the odds aren't great, but I'm going to tell you this. If Ohio State, who's got a lot of prospects, is in the college football playoff, you know who's going to get the credit? Marvin Harrison Jr.
That's right.
He is great.
Two top 10 receivers.
Top 10 receivers with him and Egbuka. But he is by far the best receiver in the nation. It's very obvious who's number one. He very well could be in play for the number one overall pick, depending on who gets it. Absolutely. Marvin Harrison Jr. If you want a long shot here, I would definitely go him plus 3,000.
And then the fun thing, too, is with Jaden Daniels, the quarterback at LSU, plus 1,000. Jordan Travis, the quarterback of Florida State. Again, they play each other this weekend at plus 1,200. They're number 2 and 3 in the odds, the Heisman.
Yes.
This is going to fluctuate. The winner of this game will be sitting right there behind Caleb Williams. the winner of this football game. So this is a big Heisman Trophy type matchup with these guys. I have a top five out as well, and I don't know what's considered. You know, I like putting top fives out there. I'd put Caleb Williams clear number one.
Yeah.
To repeat, it doesn't bother me. I have Marvin Harrison Jr. second. You know,
well, I guess you better put some money on Marvin Harrison.
Harrison Jr. And number three, I'm going J.J. McCarthy, who's sitting at plus 1,800. I like J.J. McCarthy a ton. Big arm leading that Michigan Wolverines team. I think they have a great chance at a national title. Drake May at four and five. Maybe Jaden Daniels at LSU. Again, if he doesn't win this game against Florida State, that drops down. But I clearly see this guy in the SEC title game.
And then a couple more dark horses I want to throw out there.
Oh?
A couple more. Blake Corum out of Michigan, plus 5,000.
It doesn't scare you that he's going to be sharing time with Donovan Edwards.
Yeah, that does. But if he's clearly the number one guy, I mean, look, Michigan's loaded.
He made a run at it last year for Heisman.
He did. And they're loaded. They got a lot of talent there. Yeah. Like, I'm going to tell you this right now. If Michigan does not get into the college football playoff, it will be one of the most disappointing seasons we've had since the playoff.
And my guy, J.J. McCarthy, might be taking votes from him.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
might be taking votes for each other.
Exactly. But I think Corum is going to be a little bit more important than McCarthy. Donovan Edwards still, great option as well. But yeah, Corum plus 5,000. Brock Bowers out of Georgia, which I'm going to tell you this right now.
A tight end with an Heisman.
Georgia! If you are going to tell me that Georgia gets back into the college football playoff, Bowers has got to be at the top of that list because he's by far the best player on that team, I think. Bowers plus 5,000 as well.
I like the fact he's in this list. I think like Brock Bowers because you don't see tight end. That's how special this kid is.
I know. I know. Like he's right there. I mean, he's a long shot still. Those are not great odds. Those are way worse odds than anyone else out there that has a realistic chance. But still, like, that's a guy I think is going to get some consideration if he plays. If he puts up like wide receiver one numbers this year, like he was doing last year, and they are a prominent team in the SEC again, I think he's got to get that.
He's the best receiver on the national. And keep this in mind, too. Everybody talks about the vaunted Georgia defense. They finished eighth in the country last year. That offense, Chris, sixth. The Georgia offense was actually better nationally than their defense was. The year before that, much different. That was about the defense, but that offense really came alive for Georgia. And it's going to get to Carson Beck now, the quarterback, taking over things at Georgia.
So this weekend, one of those young guys that we talked about heavy in the draft season really showed out this past weekend there. It's our guy, Hunter Luepke.
Yeah, you know.
Fullback, North Dakota State.
People might think this is silly, but you know what? I did get tweets talking about how this was our guy.
It was our guy.
Because you and I talked about Hunter Luepke. Chiefs decided not to go the fullback route. We told you this kid just is not a, quote, running back. He's a fullback, an H-back, tight end, whatever you want to put him. I don't know. It was a preseason game against the Raiders. But he did have 58 yards rushing. He was averaging well over 4 yards a carry. But that last carry he had in that game, he's at 53 yards. When he got to 58, it came down.
Yeah.
But he had 5 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown as well. So he does it all. And again, you and I were talking fullbacks later on. Hunter Luepke was the undrafted guy too, Chris. He wasn't even drafted.
No.
This was a steal by the Dallas Cowboys.
It was a steal, and we were salivating at what he could have done in the Chiefs system. And it's very unfortunate. I mean, it's very fortunate he ended up with Dallas.
How in the hell can you not throw a 7th-round dart at Hunter Luepke?
I know. So I'm serious. Or at least, like, really push to sign him as an undrafted free agent. But
just
know,
throwing that dart in the 7th round, he's got to come there.
I know. I thought he would have been a shoe-in to make the team. I mean, I thought he would have had a great opportunity to help them out in short yardage situations.
Oh, yeah.
Not only as a runner, but as a receiver as well. He's a very good receiver. And it sucks to see him with the Cowboys, but I hope him the best. I hope he has a good career in the NFL. Like I think he will, like I think you think he will. And hopefully things turn out well for him.
It was just kind of fun to throw that out there because we did talk about him.
We did talk about him a lot.
And we probably will bring up players that do well that we talked about.
Yes.
We probably won't bring up the players we did.
We'll brag about
them. We have to be fair about it. If they suck, we'll bring it up.
Yeah, we'll bring it up, yeah. So I want to get into our preview for the defensive back position for the 2024 draft. There are a lot of good DBs to watch for this year. The biggest name I think jumps out, obviously, for corner, Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. Great talent. Ball hawking type corner. Play man coverage, play zone. He does everything you want. This guy is, I think, got a very good chance to be top five, especially if you've got a team that, because like, I'm not sold that like the Panthers and the and Houston Texans are going to have good years this year. So I can totally see Houston being top five again this year. And they already drafted Derek Stingley Jr. In 2022. Could very well see them go McKinstry here in the first round of next year's draft to kind of shore up their defensive back situation a little bit.
I mean, he's over 6 foot. He's 6'1". He's listed at 6'1". 6'1", 195. Pounds. Yeah. So Kool-Aid's got the size that you would want.
Yeah. And then
it's going to be fun to watch 2 weeks from now when they play Texas. And you got Xavier Worthy and Quinn Ewers and
good
stuff like that.
Going. There's going to be some great matchups there. Another guy, though, who played with one of our favorite DBs from last year, a guy by the name of Kalen King, cornerback out of Penn State, played opposite of Joey Porter Jr., who we were in love with as a corner. It's funny, like we thought he would go middle of the first round. He ended up going early in the second round by the Steelers. Steelers were able to...
We thought he'd be a Steeler just earlier.
Yeah, exactly. We thought it would be a much earlier situation. But he's going to be a guy to watch. Clemson.
In good size. He's 5'11".
Yeah, 5'11", 191. Yep. Yeah, so he's got good size to him as well. A lot of these guys are like right around the 6 foot mark. Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, 6'2", 185. Corner out of Clemson. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, 6'1", 207. Josh Newton, TCU corner, 5'11", 189. But there's a couple of guys who are kind of on the freakish side to watch out for.
You talking Georgia?
No. Okay. Michigan's got this kid, Amorian Walker.
Michigan.
6'3", 180.
Yep.
Huge. Wide receiver sized. Same height as Marvin Harrison Jr. Gonna be a matchup to watch out for when they play each other this fall. And then another kind of freak guy. Not a big school. Colby Taylor out of Wyoming, 6'4", 190. Same height as Sauce Gardner, who really kind of blew up a couple years ago when he was at Cincinnati and ended up being the top. Was he the top corner? No, he's the second corner taken in the draft behind Stingley Jr. Ended up winning Defensive Rookie of the Year and is looking like he's one of the very few shutdown corners early in his career, mind you.
Well, besides Kool-Aid McKinstry, I think Alabama's got two more. Malachi Moore and Terrion Arnold. So there's three corners that they have that will probably be drafted pretty early in this draft. And again, it's all about that Texas matchup and what they're doing and Quinn Ewers, if he's actually a first-round quarterback or not.
But yeah.
Three corners from Alabama, shocker. They've been putting that out. And also Georgia. I think about the these teams with two corners. Kamari Lassiter comes in about 5'11", 5'12". And then on the same team, Javon Bullard on the other side that comes in over 6 foot. So two great corners for Georgia as well. So the SEC once again loaded.
Ohio State's got a kid named Denzel Burke that you absolutely want to watch for. Another guy, Max Melton at a Rutgers, is another highly touted.
Denzel, by the way, is almost 6'2".
Yes, yeah. So there's some size here at corner in this year's draft. There were some smaller corners in this past year's draft. But next year's draft, going to be a little bit more size there. Moving on to safety, kid out of Miami, Cameron Kitchens, 6'205". All these guys are 6 feet tall here that I've seen here. There's this kid at Ohio State. I thought this was a typo when I saw it. Sonny Styles, 6'5", 228, playing safety. I thought this was a typo, and I could not believe that that's what he was. He's basically a linebacker, like a little bit of an undersized linebacker.
They have playing two, safety. They have two safeties like that because
Lathan Ransom. 6'2", 211. Who is another guy that you should be watching
out for. Oh, and Josh Proctor, that's also back there for Ohio State.
Yes. Yeah. Michigan's got a guy named Rod Moore, who's 6'2", 200. USC got this kid named Kalen Bullock, 6'3", 195. So you're talking, again, good height on these guys. Minnesota, Tyler Newbin, 6'2", 210. A lot of taller safeties are in this draft class. If the Chiefs did not see some good things coming out with Chamari Connor, I think that this would be a great year because I don't think Justin Reed's going to be with the team after this
year.
You
want a guy that could play nickel, shut down the
– Yeah. And here's the thing. They might still be in the market to get a late round safety.
We might as well bring up Kenny Logan Jr. From the Jayhawks, probably a top 20 safety in this year's draft class.
Yeah, I mean Georgia, Javon Bullard. You know they've got another good safety there. Utah, Cole Bishop.
I had Bullard kind of a corner though for the NFL.
Yeah, and that's the thing though is like
he could do both.
He could do both, and we know that the Chiefs value that. If he could do corner and safety. He's a prime candidate for being third safety because that was one of the things about Shamari Connor that made him so interesting was that he was an option as a slot corner or as a safety. He was a really, really important player for that. So if you have a guy like that that can be corner or safety, that can play slot, can play safety, there's tons of value there. So I actually think this is a pretty good, probably pretty deep DB class this year. I think especially at safety, you've got a lot of guys with a lot of good size. As long as their athleticism matches what they bring in size, you could be looking at finding a lot of good value in this draft class, I think.
Yeah, 100%. And keep watching SEC. A lot of these quarters
all
these guys,
they're all SEC or Big Ten. It's SEC or Big Ten. Though I will say this, if we're going by Brett Veach's track record.
Oh, by the way, Bullard had two interceptions in that TCU title game.
Yeah. I will say this, though. If we're going to go by Brett Veach's track record, we probably can't expect them to draft the Ohio State guys.
No. It's not going to happen.
We can't really count on that. So I wanted to get into preseason game number 3 for the Kansas City Chiefs. Lot of impressive young guys in this draft in that we saw perform on Saturday. Who were you most impressed by in game 3 of the preseason for the Chiefs from the young prospect perspective?
Well, I think several things were said. Obviously, I could say Amir Smith-Marset, the wide receiver, but
yeah,
he's not going to make the team.
I don't think he will either, but he should.
I don't think he's going to make the team, but I will say this too. You know, you think about that. I think the backup quarterback was settled in something we talked about before when I said, all right, who do you want to play? Who do you trust for that drive, like against the Jaguars? Blaine Gabbert or Shane Buechele? Listen, I like all three of them. You know, and nice quarterback room, even though I saw a tweet out there, I think from Pro Football Focus, that said, stop talking about best quarterback rooms. That's Patrick Mahomes and three empty chairs.
Yeah, that's
the best.
Of course.
And Shane Buechele's development or whatever. What are you going to develop him to play for the Broncos, the Dolphins? No. It doesn't matter his development. What matters is winning games because he's never going to play for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
So if he develops, fine, but it's not going to be with the Kansas City Chiefs. But I think Blaine Gabbert showed with that in Rashee Rice dropped an easy touchdown from there too. But you got to be able to trust the guy to come in there and facilitate the game plan. I'm going to say LaMichael Perine. I mean, he solidified his spot on that team with that performance, both catching the ball out of the backfield, making some nifty runs, the way he shifted, the way he spun. But to me, LaMichael Perine made this roster for the Kansas City Chiefs. And you can make an argument he runs the ball better than Clyde.
Yeah. I thought this when I saw that he was on the roster in the spring, because I was a little surprised. I was like, really? Immediately when I saw that, I was like, oh man, Prince is going to be in for a fight to make this roster. Because Perine, that kid, he was really good at Florida. He was very good at Florida. He was underutilized, but he was very good at Florida. B, he was underutilized when he was with the Jets because he came in with the Jets. And I remember saying, I was like, dude, like if Perine gets a shot there, you know, obviously, you know, they had Michael Carter at the time because he came in before Breece Hall. And I was like, Michael Carter, very good running back, but like, Perine should be getting some touches because he's underrated, just like Damian Pierce was last year with the Texans. Very underrated. And he was one of the best running backs in the league until he got hurt. I've been saying this for a while. Like, Perine is a good running back who was underutilized in college and has been so in the league. And he really he earned himself a roster spot this past Saturday. He proved that he belongs with this team. And the thing that really kind of jumped out to me. Yes, he can break tackles. He can catch passes. He's very physical as a runner. He reminds you a lot of Isaiah Pacheco, who they really like. They really like him running that style. He's got a high motor on him. Perine's the exact same way. And so I think he impressed me a lot. And I think
I don't think he just made the team. I think he earned carries.
Yeah, I think he earned carries, especially early in the season. early in the season, because like Clyde will probably get some carries, he'll get some touches, but like we know how it is with Clyde. Going to get hurt, going to drop some passes, going to make some mistakes, and he's going to get passed up on the depth chart like he has been, like it's been happening to him his entire career. P. Ryan could very quickly become a staple in the offense behind Pacheco. And I think that would be really great for the team because I think he brings to you everything that you want in a backup running back. And on top of that, he might be someone that could help wean you off of Jerick McKinnon. Even though I like Jerick and he's been very valuable to this team, Orlando Brown Jr. and Andrew Wiley should send him some money because of how much he was helping them in the passing game. But man, like P. Ryan, he showed he got it.
And I think running back, I likened this earlier to remember Ned Yost in 14 and 15 and stuff like that. I mean, he had a great, you kind of knew who 7, 8, 9 is. But there were some times there where they had to decide, okay,
yeah,
who's, what are we doing in the 6? What for sure are we going to do in the 7th? But it's that feel, the feel of trust that you have for managers deciding right. their bullpen. Because you don't know it right away. Like the first month of the season, you don't know. You're trying guys out there, see who fits. And I look at that when I look at the Chiefs wide receivers and the running backs. Like, who's going to stand up and shine when they play regular season? When lights are on, who are going to be those guys that you trust? And I think there's still some uncertainty with both the Chiefs receivers and running backs. And I think, yeah, there's certain locks you're going to see a lot. You're going to see MVS a lot in Sky Moore.
Right.
But I think there's a whole bunch of, you know, who are you going to trust? Rice in here in the situation, or Watson, or Richie James, who are you going to trust? And I think a lot like major league managers look for who they trust in the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. You're going to see that with the quarterback or with the wide receiver and running back play.
Right, yeah. And so there's a lot. I mean, we obviously know this team is very, very confident with playing young players. So it would not shock me if guys like that who are – another guy you brought up who has really risen, I think very quietly too. You're not hearing – like you're hearing stuff about him, but you're not – there isn't the same kind of hype as there was in some of those young guys – last year, Chamari Connor. Chamari Connor has really shown that he, I think he's earned, I think he's going to be their preferred third safety over Mike Edwards.
He's already getting snaps with the one.
Yeah.
Spags singled him out, talked about him, his versatility. You want to play nickel corner?
He can do it.
You want to play safety? He can play safety. He's a shutdown tight end type guy that you put over tight ends.
Yep.
He's a great hitter. Loves to hit.
He can blitz.
Plays all four phases of special teams.
Yep.
Blitzes, like we've been talking about, led Virginia Tech in sacks as a defensive back in 2019, which doesn't happen. It was like 5.5 sacks, but still, for a defensive back, and what do the Chiefs like to
That's
do?
That's really good.
Defensive back.
5.5 sacks from a DB?
They do.
You'll take it.
That's why, that was my favorite Chiefs draft pick.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, no, it was Shamari Connor in the 4th round. That was my favorite pick because of the versatility. Just screamed Chiefs to me, and
the way he plays.
L'Jarius Sneed coming up for a contract. Yep. You know, you get ahead of the game.
Yeah, we're not even talking about an extension for Sneed. We're not at all talking. So we know what the game is. Sneed knows what the game is.
Shamari Connor.
And Connor really was kind of drafted, I think, to be the Sneed replacement because of the versatility. Now I want to get to our week one watch list. These are the games. These are the prospects in the games that you should be watching out for. Want to start on Friday. This is Miami versus Miami. They signed this whole thing just for the marketing purposes. three players I think you guys should be watching for the Chiefs. Both tackles on Miami's offensive line, Zion Nelson, Francis Maligoa, who are both going to be, I mean, I think Zion Nelson is probably going to be a potential first round tackle. Maligoa could be a second day guy, could work his way up to the first round. The Chiefs are going to be in play for at least one tackle. I think actually probably just one tackle this year. Going to be in play for one tackle for sure. I don't think Donovan Smith's going to be on this team next year. So we'll see if it's going to be left tackle or right tackle. We'll see how comfortable they are moving a guy. I think in all likelihood, they probably will move Juwan Taylor over to left tackle and then start whoever it is at right tackle just because, and you've brought this up many times on this podcast, Andy Reid doesn't like to put rookies in at left tackle.
No.
He just doesn't. So whoever it is.
That are quarterbacks. Even Mahomes couldn't start his
first season. I know, even though Mahomes is better than Alex, but he still was like, no, you got to sit behind Alex for a year. But absolutely, this is going to be any teams that have good tackles, you should be watching those games because they're going to be teams to watch out for.
I'll add two safeties for Miami, too. Cameron Kitchens. James Williams, so the safety play right. for Miami as well.
Yeah, I'm not 100%. I mean, I think late round safety is probably more so. I think Kitchens probably goes a little too early. Probably, what, latest? Early, like late second round, early third round, maybe. So maybe he plays his way into the first round if he has a really good year. I've seen some people say he's like the top rated safety in this class. So we'll see where his value is. Another guy I think they could be in play for, another position, defensive tackle, Leonard Taylor. We don't know what's going to happen with Chris Jones. We don't know if it's going to be just the rest of this year. Even if they sign a long-term extension with him, they still have to think about the future at that position. Who's going to play next to him? Because Omenihue's only on a 2-year deal. What happens if he doesn't pan out? You got to think about that. Leonard Taylor III out of Miami is going to be another guy to watch. Obviously, Notre Dame, Tennessee State, both of those tackles again. Blake Fisher. Got to watch him. Watch them all year long. They dominated against Navy. That's another one to watch. Also, another guy in that game, defensive tackle Riley Mills for Notre Dame. They crushed that Navy offensive line. They were disrupting all of their run plays. Triple option. They had a hard time being able to run that with guys like him sitting up the middle. That's going to be another guy to watch for because I think he could be in play there. Then Rice and Texas. I mean, look, Texas is full of guys. You should be watching. If you like the Heisman Trophy race, you should be watching Quinn Ewers. If you want to watch a guy who could be a first-round quarterback, Quinn Ewers. One guy, though, that I think you and me like, Jatavion Sanders, tight end, Texas. That's going to be I think it could be the first-round position
if
they don't go
tackle. I think he's second-best tight end in the draft this year. And the guy mocked the Chiefs quite a bit when they look at that. If he's not able to get Bowers, then you could theoretically probably sit there at the end of the first round and get him. There's a couple guys there. Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver for Texas as well.
Yep, Xavier Worthy as well. Plus, also, they got a defensive tackle in T'Vondre Sweat. UT Martin in Georgia, Brock Bowers. That's the big guy, Brock Bowers. Got to watch that guy.
And Buller plays safety and corner and things like that. We talked about the great defensive backs in Georgia.
Yeah, they always got good DBs there. Definitely want to watch, though, like I said, Brock Bowers.
See what Bowers does.
Ohio State, Indiana. Ohio State's full of talented players all throughout. Two guys, though, I'm really interested in, though. Both of their DTs. They got Michael Hall Jr., and they have Tyleek Williams. I'm really interested in those guys. Again, I think if you're the Chiefs, somewhere in the first three rounds, you've got to be looking at defensive tackle just for depth and also for potential Chris Jones replacement if things go wrong with the current situation with them.
And with Ohio State, you never know. I mean, JT Tumalo and Jack Sawyer, the edge rushers
really
for
good
Ohio State.
Their D-line is great.
They almost have two. You think about positions, they have two of everything.
Yes.
Wide receiver, the Buka, and with Marvin Harrison Jr., two of everything.
They recruit so well. Yeah. But
will the Chiefs go Ohio State?
That's the one thing. That's the one thing I was reticent about putting this list together. It's like they don't have any Ohio State guys. They just Veach does not
but
draft Ohio
Marvin
State guys.
The two best receivers, Ohio State. So.
Yeah, two best receivers in the draft class, more than likely. I've seen Egbuka right behind Neighbors from LSU as the number three guy.
I've seen Xavier Worthy.
I've seen Xavier Worthy is there as well, so it's interchangeable. But certainly two of the top five receivers are going to be playing for Ohio State this year. LSU, Florida State. If the Chiefs needed an edge rusher, obviously Jared Verse, though they're probably not going to get him because he's probably going to be top 10. But
Top five.
Yeah, probably top five. The guy I'm looking for, though, LSU defensive tackle Mason Smith. This kid is a beast, and I think there's a lot of things that you should be looking out for because he could be an option for the Chiefs if, you know, maybe somewhere in the mid to late first round.
So is he 100% playing in this game, though?
I'm not sure.
Because weren't they going to play a week zero game just so he could be suspended that game? Didn't he have to?
I don't know.
I thought that was, let me see, I thought it was that with him, but... Was there, let's see, Mason Smith has been suspended.
Suspended for the game?
He's been suspended Florida State game over improper benefit per reports.
Yep. Okay. Well.
So you see the same thing?
Yes.
I think that's true. But that's why they won.
They did. You reportedly It was reported on Saturday down south.
That's why they were trying to squeeze in that week zero game to suspend that game.
Hey, this is a tough matchup for them, man. Like, LSU's going to be playing a very tough team in Florida State. So, that's a kid this year you definitely want to check out. Now, obviously not going to play this weekend. ECU, Michigan, of all the players, they've got some good running backs there. They've got the quarterback who could be a first-round quarterback. There's one kid, though, I think you want to watch out for if you're a Chiefs fan. Defensive tackle Chris Jenkins. This kid is a load. He is incredibly large. I mean, you're looking at him. He's 6'3", 285. This is a kid who probably could put on a few more pounds, get up into that 300-plus pound range. He could play a one tech if you really need him to. But at his current size, he's still a problem at that level. That's a guy I think you really want to watch out for.
Yeah, because he does kind of like what Chris Jones does, defensive line, yes. Slides over to the outside.
He can play over the line.
Which this is a Minshew. This is Chris Jones. This is a guy inside and outside. Yes. Now, I'm not saying he's that caliber. I'm saying that kind of approach, which you're seeing more and more defensive tackles play on the edge.
And one of the things you heard about Chris Jenkins, because last year they had Mozzie Smith, who ended up who reportedly the Chiefs wanted to trade up to go get. And Mozzie Smith, from what I've heard, has had a very good camp with the Cowboys. He has done very well. And I've heard that Chris Jenkins might be just as good, if not better, than Mozzie Smith. If that is the case, then he might be a shoe-in for the Chiefs in the first round if they could get him at somewhere in that late first round.
Jenkins, 13 games last year, 481 snaps, 40 tackles, 12 assists, 34 stops. As a pass rusher, he produced 19 total pressures, 15 quarterback hurries, 2 quarterback hits, and 2 sacks on the year.
Yeah. I mean, if you got a guy who is both very well-rounded as a pass rusher, generating a lot of pressures, and also is dominant in the run game, which sounds like Mozzie Smith to me, is exactly what you want. So certainly those are the guys you want to watch. So now going to end the show here talking about the biggest topics regarding to the draft here as we close the show here. One of the big topics here is Trey Lance, quarterback, formerly of the San Francisco 49ers, ended up getting traded this weekend to the Dallas Cowboys. And you think this might be the worst draft trade ever?
Well, last time he really played was 2019. Only had that one game in 2020. Again, I'm talking these COVID quarterbacks, man, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. Teams that bought into these. This was the scariest thing to buy into these quarterbacks, Chris. 3 first-round picks. And I think the 49ers are getting the pass on this one. It may be so because they've been in 3 of the last 4.
Are they?
Well, they've been 3 of the last 4 NFC title games, right? Including a Super Bowl there. But you're talking a 3rd overall pick in the draft. Couldn't beat out Sam Darnold for your number 2.
Yeah. I don't think they're getting a pass. I think they're getting the benefit of the doubt.
If they weren't so good as a football team, this would get a lot more attention.
Well, it's getting attention. It was the top story when it happened.
This is fireable type stuff.
It would be fireable if you were bad.
But the team's good. This is a solid team, good. But Trey Lance, it shows you also, too, how quickly teams ready to jettison from quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like, here's Josh Rosen. He didn't leave. Okay, boom. Going to somebody else. You know, Arizona's probably going to face this with Kyler Murray, too. Okay, boom. Let's move. We didn't get the guy. We didn't get the Mahomes. We didn't get the Burrow type. We didn't get the Josh Allen type. Let's move on. You need somebody for a decade and a half. Everybody's fascinated with that, and they should be. But, again, Trey Lance, COVID quarterbacks, man, that did not have the experience of going out and playing a lot of games. It was a dart throw for a lot of these guys, basing just on talent and what. But again, we haven't seen production from him since 2019.
Yeah, and this is the this is the reason why I wasn't a fan of the pick. I mean, I respected the hustle. I respected them going out and trying to get better because I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy you want to put your Super Bowl hopes on. To me, it's the same thing as when we in Kansas City were having our hopes in Alex Smith. It's like you're putting your hopes in a guy who has to have so many great things happen around him perfectly in order for him to be able to succeed at a high level.
I brought this up and I get some Cody and Gold that I filled in for. And people say, no, Ricky Williams, okay. That was the entire draft. So it's like a 3rd round, 4th. We're talking 1st round picks that are more valuable than your 2nd, 3rd, and 4th and 5th. Ricky Williams still ran for five times. He ran for over 1,000 yards in the NFL, including 1 year of 1,800. So I'm not putting – Ricky Williams was far more productive as a player than Trey Lance.
Yeah, but that still wasn't a – that was a terrible – I think that was a worse one than Trey Lance.
That was what I'm saying. You got a lot more production out there than they ever got from Trey Lance.
But they never got – a production equal to trading an entire draft's worth of picks.
No,
like that was not. That was. I still think Ricky Williams is the worst draft trade ever.
Oh, yeah.
I think you can.
I'm
make
going it, Trey Lance in the three first rounds.
Yeah, I'll take.
Getting beat out by Sam Darnold in the last pick of the draft.
Oh yeah, and it was funny because you could tell very early on that Sam Darnold was better than Trey Lance. I feel bad for Lance, man, and hopefully he ends up somewhere else. Like, hopefully he ends up somewhere else where that's going to, like, he's going to be able to learn. I just don't think it's going to be Dallas.
Yeah.
Because Dallas isn't even doing things right with Dak Prescott, so I'm not convinced that Trey Lance is going to be. But I'll say this, man. Let's say it doesn't work out there. Why not the Chiefs? Why not the Chiefs go in there? He can work. He can learn from Patrick Mahomes. And if the Chiefs need him to be a good backup quarterback, I think that might be a good option.
If the trust factors, I will say this. Didn't he work out with Mahomes in the offseason?
Yeah, he did.
He seemed to be down there.
He was at Camp Pat.
Yeah,
he was at Camp Pat. He was throwing around. Yeah. But, like, you know, he needs to be in a good offense, too.
Yeah.
And
I'm
think
sure the 49ers like, okay,
yeah.
How much rubbed off?
Oh, no, nothing was going to rub off there. No,
he was
going to rub off after, what, 2 weeks in Dallas hanging out with Patrick Mahomes? That's not going
to happen. You know, if Josh Allen never turned out to be anything, which he hadn't won anything yet, but he will, you might have to slide that Mahomes from the Bills pick to the other way. Again, they got to end up beating Josh Allen later on a year
later. If Allen turns out to be the next, like, Philip Rivers, I guarantee you, I mean, they'll certainly be like, we love Josh Allen, but in the back of their minds, you're like, man, I wish we had Mahomes.
I mean, the 13 seconds, he comes back and ties him up. And
they've
beaten him in the regular season, but in the postseason, they can't beat Mahomes.
Like, they'll never admit it. They'll never admit it because we're going to be, you know how we Chiefs fans are. We're going to be a little saucy about it.
And the funny thing is, it came from a rival, man. Here's Buffalo having to deal with this.
They were not a rival before, but they are now.
But they gave the Chiefs Mahomes.
They did. They did.
And the Chiefs needed a tackle for a while, and Orlando Brown came over from the Ravens, which the Ravens were trying to get to that level of the Chiefs.
I don't blame them. I think that was a smart move by the Ravens. Well, that was a terrible trade for the Chiefs.
Well, no, it was a terrible trade for the Chiefs. I don't think so. Because
I think it was.
They needed a left tackle because they didn't get Trent Williams. I'll say this, though. But Nick Bolton came over because it was pick 58. The Chiefs used that pick to grab Nick Bolton.
Okay.
So because of the Orlando Brown trade, they did get
Nick
Bolton.
That's a good point.
So Nick Bolton was second in the NFL in tackles.
And the Chiefs were very smart in maneuvering to get that
second round. So they not only get a left tackle for 2 years, including when they won the Super Bowl, they got Nick Bolton.
If they had not gotten that pick, though, if they had not gotten that pick, that second round pick out of that deal, that would have been
horrendously bad. It's just funny how the two biggest rivals helped the Chiefs. Because I told you, I've said this before, Chris, back when Bill Belichick was on a roll and he needed a left tackle. If he ever would have called about Eric Fisher or something, Andy Reid would have been like, Bill, this is the Wendy's.
Yeah.
Not taking that phone call. We're not helping you out. You need one position and we're not helping you.
Yeah.
It should always be the philosophy. Don't help out your rivals.
Yeah. I mean, though, the thing is a lot of teams don't think about, they're not thinking about, oh, we're helping them. They're like, oh, I'm about to get one over on this dude. Because I guarantee you that's how the Ravens were kind of thinking, too. Is like, oh, we about to get one over on
this dude. Beach is going to start to get that reputation. When he calls, he's like,
oh, yeah. I mean, it was funny. This morning I was reading, they did an agent survey.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone, like, of the GMs out there, Howie Roseman had the most votes for, like, best overall GM in the league. Right behind him, though, was Brett Veach. The agents know that man is a very, very, very good businessman. They know he's a shrewd operator. Yeah. They know he knows how to evaluate talent.
Yeah, he's not going to cave on contracts
either. And that's the thing I think is going to be really interesting to see, because he loves to trade people. And especially after that move with Tyreek Hill last year, they traded him away and got five picks from the Dolphins.
When you prove you can win without your best receiver, it's what Chris Jones is battling against, too, that the beach is so good. And the other thing, too, is, as we mentioned, 21 of the last 22 picks, Chris, are still on the roster. And we'll find out about this rookie class.
Cornell Powell's gone.
Okay, we'll see. But he's gone. But as we sit right now, 21 of 22, well, nobody can say that over this span. Nobody. And that includes the COVID year. 21 and 22, when we saw COVID guys getting cut all the time, third and fourth round picks.
And we talked about that.
And
it was going to be so hard for teams to evaluate talent with COVID.
Exactly. And we saw so many third rounders, you know, cut and moved.
And finally, Jalen Carter. Proving everybody wrong.
Interesting guy. We talked about on Character Concerns when the draft, because here was a guy that many people looked at, maybe the number one overall pick. And we said, okay, well, teams are punishing him because, you know, of the off-the-field
stuff. We thought he might be the third overall pick in the draft behind the quarterback.
But I said, wait till 3 years from now or whatever, and you're going to say, oh, my gosh. They just passed on the most dominant defensive lineman in the NFL. Philly chose not to do that.
Yeah.
And this guy's going to prove people wrong. Because, and again, it was kind of a punishment teams were doing. But eventually somebody was taking him, Chris. And we're saying, all right, the team that takes him is going to be pretty damn thankful that they took him. But Jalen Carter is going to be an absolute beast.
Yeah, I think so, too. He was a guy I was very high on. I understand teams punting on drafting him. Because, look, nobody wants to be the team that uses a top 10 pick on a player that ends up in trouble off the field.
You could have punted on Aaron Donald.
Yeah, you could have. But, like,
we don't know yet.
Nobody wants to be the team that makes that mistake. And a lot of teams are so worried about guys off the field. And I think that there is very reasonable to doubt that a kid's going to grow up because, I mean, hell, at the collegiate level, you should be doing a lot of growing up when you go from high school to college.
But if you can, and so many guys do grow up, you're talking about consensus right. All-American, you're talking about
very best talented
defensive player on Georgia, back-to-back national champions.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Very talented kid,
it was
I
a risk that, again, that's why Howie Roseman's up there where he is, because he takes
risk. That's the reason why, like, the Eagles...
Actually, he takes every damn Georgia
player. He just takes every Georgia player, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's the reason why, though, the Chiefs and the Eagles have been at or near the top of the league for years now, because they take risks on players who do have character concerns like that.
Character concerns,
yeah. We saw that with Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill panned out very well. We saw it with Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce got kicked off his team when he was at Cincy. Ended up getting his way back on the team. He definitely showed some problems early in his Chiefs career. He was a knucklehead for years.
And what Andy Reid said when he called him, don't screw this up.
Yeah, you remember 2015, people wanted his ass off the team. 2016, they wanted him off the team because he was not mature. And then all of a sudden, in 2017, everything clicked. He turned into the best tight end in football. And then by 2018, him and Mahomes, their marriage was really solidified. And at that point, it was off to the races. I mean, this is... I understand teams being a little reticent to take risk on guys with character concerns, but at the end of the day, this is the reason why teams like the Chiefs win football games and win so many of them.
Yeah, you say, is it fixable?
Yeah.
Is this something we can fix? Is this a deep-rooted problem? Mm-hmm. Is this something that can be switched our leadership on our football team? And switch that leadership is so important, man. It is so important. On a different topic, Chris, just real quick. Something I don't know if you've seen the Matt Stafford thing going around or whatever when his wife has that podcast, right? Talking about he didn't know his teammates. Did you hear about all this?
Where no.
He's talking about an equipment guy to take a pegboard and put pictures with the names, right, to go hang out.
Yeah.
Young guys are on their phones all the time and stuff, and you don't get to know them. And was thinking about, you know, leadership and how important it is. Like Bryce Young, the number one pick in the draft that went to Carolina, I think he's going to have success because – There's a quotient that I think all quarterbacks need, that people have to like you.
Right.
And the Bengals, like, they like Joe Burrow. And the players here love Patrick Mahomes, like playing video games with them.
Yeah.
They're like hanging out, going to camp, Pat. But if you watch that preseason game, like Michelle and Gabbert were throwing it was Mahomes, like, the first guy there.
He was like
he was like the first guy out there. And then Amir Smith, Marcette makes a big play. There's Mahomes. It's he's the two-time MVP. He's the two-time Super Bowl MVP. He could have probably put street clothes on in that game. Wears his uniform, and he's like the first dude there. Even when he's doing his interview, he sees an interception. Goes, oh, he's got an interception. He loves football, and guys like playing for guys like that. I think it's incredibly important. As we look at the draft and some of these quarterbacks, who has that leadership quotient that people want to play for? How well do you know your teammates?
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. Like, and this is the reason why, like, for me, when I look at quarterbacks and I see how that, like, I don't think you need to be that type with Mahomes, but I think it could give you an advantage because it builds chemistry. chemistry is so underrated in sports. I talk about all the time with like basketball, especially like the NBA. Like we see all the time, you'll see players, like teams with like two or three superstars on them. And then years later, we ask why it didn't work. Like when Carmelo Anthony and Allen Iverson played together in Denver, I was like, well, why didn't that work? Well, it's because both of those guys wanted to be the star, and there's only a spot for one guy to be the leader of the team. And you can't have two leaders of the team like that in that situation because they both want to be just the one. And so when I look at this Chiefs team, I don't see a team full of guys who want to be the one. I see guys who understand Patrick's on top. It's his team. But Patrick is not, hey, this is about me. Patrick is like, it's about y'all. He's always talking about the team first, the offensive line, the receivers, the running back, the coaches. Andy's like that. Andy's one of those guys, he'll take a bullet for his coordinators, even if it's their fault. He'll take a. Remember when he lied and said that that he called the second half of that Tennessee game when Doug Peterson was there, and he called that. I mean, it's not Doug Peterson. Matt Nagy was there, and he called that atrocious second half. And he was like, "Oh no, that I called the second half. I called all the bad plays." He took heat for that, even though like a great first half, second half, it was obviously a terrible, very conservatively run second half. He took a bullet for Matt Nagy in that situation.
You got to find a way to connect. Again, this article about Stafford says, so far it's been an issue for Matt Stafford, who has found it hard to connect with the many rookies and new faces on the Rams roster this year, according to his wife, Kelly. And keep in mind, Demarcus Robinson, one of those guys out there. She says, but it's like, I don't know how to lead people I have no connection with. I have to somehow find a way to connect with the players. So that's what she had said. And he supposedly went to the equipment staff to print out a Facebook so that he could remember everyone's name and make an attempt to get to know them. But
he's clearly not doing enough to go out there and get to know his guys and work to try and build chemistry.
But now they get out of practice and meetings during training camp and they go straight to their phones. No one looks up from their phones. Again, you got to find a way to adapt, man.
Yeah.
Ned Yost with the Royals.
Ned Yost is one of those old school guys I know, too.
But he got along with the young guys because play whatever music you want. Just be you.
He'd give them nicknames. Yeah, be Esky and Haas.
If you want to play video games or watch TV or listen to music, do it.
Yeah, he was all about it. And the biggest thing is he showed trust in those guys. And that's why they liked him. Because all those guys had doubts in themselves and their abilities. And he built them up, even though he had no reason to believe in these guys because they hadn't done it before.
This is his wife saying it, not him. But I'm sure there's a modicum of truth to it.
His wife shouldn't be talking about that stuff in public.
Because I don't know what's worse, her having a podcast telling the stuff where the guys on their phones. I mean, who cares?
The phone stuff, I think, is overblown.
Who cares? Yeah,
I think that's overblown. I think it's just he doesn't know how to connect to those guys.
Everybody does that, so who cares?
Yeah, so like, same thing. I guarantee you the same thing happens in the Chiefs locker room, but Mahomes has a connection with those guys. So I don't think that's a valid
excuse. That's the number one thing I'm looking for in the draft.
Yeah.
Can, especially with quarterbacks, do guys like you? Do they want to play with you? Right. Do I see you as a team leader? Mm-hmm. Will guys follow you and play hard for you?
Yeah.
I mean, they get that with certain guys. Like Nick Bolton's one of those guys. People follow him.
Yes. People
you need that.
People want to play with that guy, and they listen to him. And for him as a second-year player to be the captain of that defense and go out there and dominate on the field and help push those guys up, that's a big sign there. So I do think that's a great point to talk about here, and it's one of the things that I think gives the Chiefs such a big advantage over all of those other teams out there is the connection that Mahomes has with his teammates and the fact that he just seems to get the most out of his guys. Because last year, when everybody thought that they were going to fall off after the Tyreek Hill trade, they seemed just fine.
Hey, I've been saying, you got to be close to the group. Just like take MVS's softball tournament he had over the summer.
Yep.
Like 30
Everybody
guys.
Was there. Mahomes was there.
Like Drew Tranquil, these new guys were at these deals. Mahomes, like you said, Mahomes was there.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't have to do that.
He
wanted to do it to be with his teammates. But, he's the MVP of the NFL.
Right.
Number one player in the NFL. But that's the Chiefs, though. That's getting along with your coworkers and building something, chemistry. Teams fight hard to build chemistry with the team. Hey, let's take a day off of training camp and I'll go bowling like Marty Schottenheimer used to. Okay, that's great. But are they just going bowling to hang out for that day and get out of practice, or do they genuinely being with each other?
Yeah, that you got to build a family atmosphere there.
And that's the number one thing I'm looking for in these draft picks.
Me too. So I think that is something that we got to look out for here. Certainly chemistry, very underrated. That's it for this week's episode of the Character Concerns podcast. Next week, we're going to have our week one college football reactions. Going to be very interesting to see what happens with some of these prospects here. I think all the DTs, all of the offensive tackles, going to be very interesting to watch there.
Some shakeup in the highs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game, though.
I'm not sure.
Because weren't they going to play a week zero game just so he could be suspended that game? Didn't he have to?
I don't know.
I thought that was, let me see. I thought it was that with him, but was there, let's see. Mason Smith has been suspended.
Suspended for the game?
He's been suspended Florida State game over improper benefit, per reports.
Yep. Okay. Well.
So you see the same thing?
Yes.
I think that's true. But yeah. That's why
they reportedly, it was reported on Saturday down south.
That's why they were trying to squeeze in that week zero game to have them suspended that game.
Hey, this is a tough matchup for them, man. Like, LSU is going to be playing a very tough team in Florida State. So, that's a kid this year you definitely want to check out. Now, obviously not going to play this weekend. ECU, Michigan, of all the players, they've got some good running backs there. They've got the quarterback who could be a first-round quarterback. There's one kid, though, I think you want to watch out for if you're a Chiefs fan. Defensive tackle Chris Jenkins. This kid is a load. He is incredibly large. I mean, you're looking at him. He's 6'3", 285. This is a kid who probably could put on a few more pounds, get up into that 300-plus pound range. He could play a one tech if you really need him to. But at his current size, he's still a problem. At that level, that's a guy I think you really want to watch out for.
Yeah, because he does kind of like what Chris Jones does, defensive line, slides over to the outside.
He can play all over the line.
This is a Minshew. This is Chris Jones. This is a guy inside and outside. Yes. Now, I'm not saying he's that caliber. I'm saying that kind of approach, which you're seeing more and more defensive tackles play on the edge.
And one of the things you heard about Chris Jenkins, because last year they had Mozzie Smith, who ended up getting, who reportedly the Chiefs wanted to trade up to go get. And Mozzie Smith, from what I've heard, has had a very good camp with the Cowboys. He has done very well. And I've heard that Chris Jenkins might be just as good, if not better, than Mozzie Smith. If that is the case, then he might be a shoe-in for the Chiefs in the first round if they could get him at somewhere in that late first round.
Jenkins, 13 games last year, 481 snaps, 40 tackles, 12 assists, 34 stops. As a pass rusher, he produced 19 total pressures, 15 quarterback hurries, 2 quarterback hits, and 2 sacks on the year.
Yeah. I mean, if you got a guy who is both very well-rounded as a pass rusher, generating a lot of pressures, and also is dominant in the run game, which sounds like Mozzie Smith to me, is exactly what you want. So certainly those are the guys you want to watch. So now going to end the show here talking about the biggest topics in regarding to the draft here as we close the show here. One of the big topics here is Trey Lance, quarterback, formerly of the San Francisco 49ers, ended up getting traded this weekend to the Dallas Cowboys. And you think this might be the worst draft trade ever?
Well, the last time he really played was 2019. Only had that one game in 2020. Again, I'm talking these COVID quarterbacks, man, like Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. Teams that bought into these, this was the scariest thing to buy into these quarterbacks, Chris. Three first-round picks. And I think the 49ers are getting the pass on this one. It may be so because they've been in three of the last
four.
Are they? Well, they've been three of the last four NFC title games, right? Including a Super Bowl there. But you're talking the third overall pick in the draft. Couldn't beat out Sam Darnold for your number two.
Yeah. I don't think they're getting a pass. I think they're getting the benefit of the doubt.
If they weren't so good as a football team, this would get a lot more attention.
Well, it's getting attention. It was the top story when it happened.
Fireable type stuff.
It would be fireable if you were bad.
But the team's good. This is a solid team, good. But Trey Lance, it shows you also, too, how quickly teams ready to jettison from quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like, here's Josh Rosen. He didn't leave. Okay, boom. Going to somebody else. You know, Arizona's probably going to face this with Kyler Murray, too. Okay, boom. Let's move. We didn't get the guy. We didn't get the Mahomes. We didn't get the Burrow type. We didn't get the Josh Allen type. Let's move on. You need somebody for a decade and a half. Everybody's fascinated with that, and they should be. But, again, Trey Lance, COVID quarterbacks, man, that did not have the experience of going out and playing a lot of games. It was a dart throw for a lot of these guys, basing just on talent and what. But again, we haven't seen production from him since 2019.
Yeah, and this is the this is the reason why I wasn't a fan of the pick. I mean, I respected the hustle. I respected them going out and trying to get better because I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy you want to put your Super Bowl hopes on. To me, it's the same thing as when we in Kansas City were having our hopes in Alex Smith. It's like you're putting your hopes in a guy who has to have so many great things happen around him perfectly in order for him to be able to succeed at a high level.
I brought this up and I get some Cody and Gold that we I filled in for, and people say, no, Ricky Williams, okay, that was the entire draft. So it's like a third round, fourth. We're talking first round picks that are more valuable than your second, third, and fourth and fifth. Ricky Williams still ran for five times. He ran for over 1,000 yards in the NFL, including 1 year of 1,800. So I'm not putting – Ricky Williams was far more productive as a player than Trey Lance.
Yeah, but that still wasn't a – that was a terrible – I think that was a worse one than Trey Lance.
That was what I'm saying. You got a lot more production out there than they ever got from Trey Lance.
But they never got a production equal to trading an entire draft's worth of picks.
No.
Like, that was not – that was – I still think Ricky Williams is the worst draft trade ever.
Oh, yeah.
I think you can
I'm
make
going
it,
Trey Lance in the three first rounds.
Yeah, I'll take
getting beat out by Sam Darnold in the last pick of the draft.
Oh yeah, and it was funny because you could tell very early on that Sam Darnold was better than Trey Lance. I feel bad for Lance, man, and hopefully he ends up somewhere else. Like, hopefully he ends up somewhere else where that's gonna like he's gonna be able to learn. I just don't think it's gonna be Dallas.
Yeah,
because Dallas isn't even doing things right with Dak Prescott. So I'm not convinced that Trey Lance is gonna be. But I'll tell you this, man. Let's say it doesn't work out there. Why not the Chiefs? Why not the Chiefs go in there? He can work. He can learn from Patrick Mahomes. And if the Chiefs need him to be a good backup quarterback, I think that might be a good option.
If the trust factors, I will say this. Didn't he work out with Mahomes in the offseason?
Yeah, he did.
He seemed to be down there.
He was at Camp Pat.
Yeah,
he was at Camp Pat. He was throwing around. Yeah. But, like, you know, he needs to be in a good offense, too.
Yeah.
And I think
the 49ers like, okay,
how
much rubbed off?
Oh, no. Nothing was going to rub off there. No,
he was rubbed off.
He was going to rub off after, 2 weeks in Dallas hanging out with Patrick Mahomes? That's not going
to happen. You know, if Josh Allen never turned out to be anything, which he hadn't won anything yet, but he will, you might have to slide that Mahomes from the Bills pick to the other way. Again, they got to end up getting Josh Allen later on a year later.
If Allen turns out to be the next, like, Philip Rivers, I guarantee you. I mean, they'll certainly be like, we love Josh Allen, But in the back of their minds, you're like, man, I wish we had Mahomes.
I mean, 13 seconds, he comes back and ties him up. And
they've
beaten him in the regular season, but in the postseason, they can't beat Mahomes.
Like, they'll never admit it. They'll never admit it because we're going to be, you know how weak Chiefs fans are. We're going to be a little saucy about it.
And the funny thing is, it came from a rival, man. Here's Buffalo having to deal with this.
They were not a rival before, but
they
are now.
But the Chiefs bombs.
They did. They did.
And the Chiefs needed a tackle for a while, and Orlando Brown came over from the Ravens, which the Ravens were trying to get to that level of the Chiefs.
I don't blame them. I think that was a smart move by the Ravens. That was a terrible trade for the Chiefs.
Well, no, it was a terrible trade for the Chiefs. I don't think so.
Because I think it was.
They needed a left tackle because they didn't get Trent Williams. I'll say this, though. But Nick Bolton came over because it was pick 58. The Chiefs used that pick to grab Nick Bolton.
Okay.
So because of the Orlando Brown trade, they did get Nick Bolton.
That's a good point.
So Nick Bolton was second in the NFL in tackles.
And the Chiefs were very smart in maneuvering to get that
second round
pick. So
they not only get a left tackle for 2 years, including one that won the Super Bowl, they got Nick Bolton.
If they had not gotten that pick, though, that second round pick out of that deal, that would have been
horrendously bad. It's just funny how the two biggest rivals helped the Chiefs. Because I told you, I've said this before, Chris, back when Bill Belichick was on a roll and he needed a left tackle. If he ever would have called about Eric Fisher or something, Andy Reid would have been like, Bill, this is the Wendy's.
Yeah.
Not taking that phone call. We're not helping you out. You need one position and we're not helping you.
Yeah.
It should always be the philosophy. You don't help out your rivals.
Yeah. I mean, though, the thing is a lot of teams they're not thinking about, oh, we're helping them. They're like, oh, I'm about to get one over on this dude. Because I guarantee you that's how the Ravens were kind of thinking, too. Is like, oh, we're about to get one over on this dude.
Beach is going to start to get that reputation. When he calls, he's like,
it was funny. This morning I was reading, they did an agent survey.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone, like, of the GMs out there, Howie Roseman had the most votes for, like, best overall GM in the league. Right behind him, though, was Brett Veach. The agents know that man is a very, very, very good businessman. They know he's a shrewd operator. Yeah. They know he knows how to evaluate talent.
Yeah, he's not going
to
cave on contracts either.
And that's the thing I think is going to be really interesting to see, because he loves to trade people. And especially after that move with Tyreek Hill last year. They traded him away and got five picks from the Dolphins.
When you prove you can win without your best receiver, it's what Chris Jones is battling against, too. The Beach is so good. And the other thing, too, is, as we mentioned, 21 of the last 22 picks, Chris, are still on the roster. And we'll find out about this rookie class.
Cornell Powell's gone.
Okay, we'll see. But he's gone. But as we sit right now, 21 of 22, nobody can say that over this span. Nobody. And that includes the COVID year. 21 and 22, when we saw COVID guys getting cut all the time, third and fourth round picks.
And we talked about that.
And
it was going to be so hard for teams to evaluate talent with COVID.
Exactly. And we saw so many third rounders, cut and moved.
And finally, Jalen Carter, proving everybody wrong.
Interesting guy. We talked about on character concerns with the draft, because here was a guy that many people looked at, maybe the number one overall pick. And we said, okay, well, teams are punishing him because, of the off the field.
We thought he might be the third overall pick in the draft behind the quarterback.
But I said, wait till 3 years from now or whatever, and you're going to say, oh my gosh, they just passed on the most dominant defensive lineman in the NFL. Philly chose not to do that.
Yeah.
And this guy's going to prove people wrong because it was kind of a punishment teams were doing. But eventually somebody was taking him, Chris. And we're saying, all right, the team that takes him is going to be pretty damn thankful that they took him, but Jalen Carter is going to be an absolute beast.
Yeah, I think so, too. He was a guy I was very high on. I understand teams punting on drafting him, because, look, nobody wants to be the team that uses a top 10 pick on a player that ends up in trouble off the field.
You could have punted on Aaron Donald.
Yeah, you could have. But, like,
we don't know yet.
Nobody wants to be the team that makes that mistake. And a lot of teams are so worried about guys off the field. And I think that it's very reasonable to doubt that a kid's going to grow up, because, I mean, hell, at the collegiate level, you should be doing a lot of growing up when you go from high school to college.
But if you can, and so many guys do grow up, and you're talking about consensus All-American, you're talking about
very
best
talented
defensive player on Georgia, back-to-back national champions.
Yeah.
I mean,
very talented kid.
It was a risk that, again, that's why Howie Roseman's up there where he is, because he takes
risk. That's the reason why, like, the Eagles.
Actually, he takes every damn Georgia player.
He does. He just takes every Georgia player, But it's the reason why, though, the Chiefs and the Eagles have been at or near the top of the league for years now, because they take risks on players who do have character concerns like that.
Character concerns.
Okay. We saw that with Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill panned out very well. We saw it with Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce got kicked off his team when he was at Cincy. Ended up getting his way back on the team. He definitely showed some problems early in his Chiefs career. He was a knucklehead for years.
And what Andy Reid said when he called him, don't screw this up.
Yeah, you remember 2015, people wanted his ass off the team. 2016, they wanted him off the team because he was not mature. And then all of a sudden, in 2017, everything clicked. He turned into the best tight end in football. And then by 2018, him and Mahomes, their marriage was really solidified. And at that point, it was off to the races. I mean, this is... I understand teams being a little reticent to take risk on guys with character concerns, but at the end of the day, this is the reason why teams like the Chiefs win football games and win so many of them.
Yeah, you say, is it fixable?
Yeah.
Is this something we can fix? Is this a deep-rooted problem? Mm-hmm. Is this something that could be switched our leadership on our football team and switch that? Leadership is so important, man. It is so important. On a different topic, Chris, just real quick. Something I don't know if you've seen the Matt Stafford thing going around or whatever when his wife has that podcast, right? Talking about he didn't know his teammates. Did you hear about all this?
Where no.
He's talking about an equipment guy to take a pegboard and put pictures with the names, right, to go hang out. Yeah. You have the young guys are on their phones all the time and stuff, and you don't get to know them. And was thinking about, leadership and how important it is. Like Bryce Young, the number one pick in the draft that went to Carolina, I think he's going to have success because – There's a quotient that I think all quarterbacks need that people have to like you.
Right.
And the Bengals, they like Joe Burrow. And the players here love Patrick Mahomes. They like playing video games with them.
Yeah.
They like hanging out, going to camp, Pat. But if you watch that preseason game, Bouchelle and Gabbert were throwing it was Mahomes the first guy there.
He was like a coach.
He was like the first guy out there. And then Amir Smith, Marcette makes a big play. There's Mahomes. It's he's the two-time MVP. He's the two-time Super Bowl MVP. He could have probably put street clothes on in that game, wears his uniform, and he's the first dude there. Even when he's doing his interview, he sees an interception, goes, oh, he's got an interception. He loves football, and guys like playing for guys like that. I think it's incredibly important. If we look at the draft and some of these quarterbacks, who has that leadership quotient that people want to play for? How well do you know your teammates?
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. And this is the reason why, for me, when I look at quarterbacks and I see how that, I don't think you need to be that type with Mahomes, but I think it could give you an advantage because it builds chemistry. Chemistry is so underrated in sports. I talk about all the time with basketball, especially the NBA. We see all the time, you'll see players, teams with two or three superstars on them. And then years later, we ask why it didn't work. When Carmelo Anthony and Allen Iverson played together in Denver, I was like, well, why didn't that work? Well, it's because both of those guys wanted to be the star, and there's only a spot for one guy to be the leader of the team. And you can't have two leaders of the team like that in that situation because they both want to be just the one. And so when I look at this Chiefs team, I don't see a team full of guys who want to be the one. I see guys who understand Patrick's on top. It's his team. But Patrick is not, hey, this is about me. Patrick is it's about y'all. He's always talking about the team first. The offensive line, the receivers, the running back, the coaches. Andy's like that. Andy's one of those guys, he'll take a bullet for his coordinators. Even if it's their fault. He'll take up. Remember when he lied and said that that he called the second half of that Tennessee game when Doug Peterson was there and he called that. I mean, not Doug Peterson. Matt Nagy was there and he called that atrocious second half. And he was like, "Oh no, that I called the second half. I called all the bad plays." He took heat for that, even though a great first half, second half, it was obviously a terrible, very conservatively run second half. He took a bullet for Matt Nagy in that situation.
You got to find a way to connect. Again, this article about Stafford says, so far it's been an issue for Matt Stafford, who has found it hard to connect with the many rookies and new faces on the Rams roster this year, according to his wife, Kelly. And keep in mind, Demarcus Robinson, one of those guys out there, she says, but it's I don't know how to lead people I have no connection with. I have to somehow find a way to connect with the players. So that's what she had said. And he supposedly went to the equipment staff to print out a Facebook so that he could remember everyone's name and make an attempt to get to know them. But
he's clearly not doing enough to go out there and get to know his guys and work to try and build chemistry.
But now they get out of practice and meetings during training camp and they go straight to their phones. No one looks up from their phones. Again, you got to find a way to adapt, man.
Yeah.
Ned Yost with the Royals.
Ned Yost is one of those old school guys I know, too.
But he got along with the young guys because yeah. Play whatever music you want. Just
he'll
be you.
He'd give them nicknames. Yeah, be you. Esky and
Haas. If you want to play video games or watch TV or listen to music,
yeah. He was all about it. And the biggest thing is he showed trust in those guys. And that's why they liked him. Because all those guys had doubts in themselves and their abilities. He built them up, even though he had no reason to believe in these guys because they hadn't done it before.
This is his wife saying it, not him. But I'm sure there's a modicum of truth to it.
His wife shouldn't be talking about that stuff in public.
Because I don't know what's worse, her having a podcast telling us stuff or the guys on their phones.
The phone stuff, I think, is overblown.
Who cares?
I think that's overblown. I think it's just he doesn't know how to connect to those guys.
Everybody does that, so who cares?
Yeah, so like same thing. I guarantee you the same thing happens in the Chiefs locker room, but Mahomes has a connection with those guys. So I don't think that's a valid
excuse. That's the number one thing I'm looking for in the draft.
Yeah.
Can, especially with quarterbacks, can do guys like you? Do they want to play with you? Right. Do I see you as a team leader? Mm-hmm. Will guys follow you and play hard for you?
Yeah.
I mean, they get that with certain guys. Like Nick Bolton's one of those guys. People follow him.
Yes. People
you need that.
People want to play with that guy, and they listen to him. And for him as a second-year player to be the captain of that defense and go out there and dominate on the field and help push those guys up,
yeah,
that's a big sign there. So I do think that's a great point to talk about here, and it's one of the things that I think gives the Chiefs such a big advantage over all of those other teams out there. Is the connection that Mahomes has with his teammates and the fact that he just seems to get the most out of his guys. Because last year, when everybody thought that they were going to fall off after the Tyreek Hill trade, they seemed just fine.
Hey, I've been saying, you know, you got to be close to the group. Just like take MVS's softball tournament he had over the summer.
Yep.
Like 30
Everybody
guys.
Was there. Mahomes was there.
Like even Drew Tranquil, these new guys were at these deals. Mahomes, like you said, Mahomes was there.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't have to do that.
He
wanted to do it to be with his teammates. Yeah. But, you know, he's the MVP of the NFL.
Right.
Number one player in the NFL. But that's the Chiefs, though. That's getting along with your coworkers and building something, chemistry. Teams fight hard to build chemistry with the team. Hey, Lil, let's take a day off of training camp and I'll go bowling like Marty Schottenheimer used to. Okay, that's great. But are they just going bowling to hang out for that day and get out of practice, or do they genuinely being with each other?
Yeah, that you got to build a family atmosphere there.
And that's the number one thing I'm looking for in these draft picks.
Me too. So I think that is something that we got to look out for here. Certainly chemistry, very underrated. That's it for this week's episode of the Character Concerns podcast. Next week, we're going to have our week one college football reactions. Going to be very interesting to see what happens with some of these prospects here. I think all the DTs, all of the offensive tackles, going to be very interesting to watch there.
Some shakeup in the Heisman, too.
A lot of shakeup in the Heisman.
Quarterbacks going at it.
Yeah,
it
could be. Yeah, LSU, Florida State, going to have the guys who had the second and third best odds to win the Heisman going against each other. We'll get reaction to that. We'll obviously keep you updated on the prospects to watch for in the week two matchups. Plus, on top of that, any other big stories that come out of the world of college football, we'll have you ready for that. For Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Osero, and this has been the Character Concerns podcast.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.